in dependence upon Thee, Lord, for all needed help, I venture to draw your prayerful attention to John chapter 11, verses 5 and 6. John chapter 11, verses 5 and 6. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Seeking the Lord's help, I first desire to speak of the love of Jesus Christ to sinners, then his love to Martha, then Mary, then Lazarus, and then the 2 days. Now, Jesus loved. A people given by the Father to him in eternity past, whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. A people loved by God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Jesus, in his prayer before going to the cross, said, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them whom thou hast given me, for they are thine. I say it with the deepest of reverence and the greatest of care, that the gift of the Father of this people to his Son was not a gift that the Son did not love, was not a gift that the Son rejected, but a gift that was loved by Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The love of the Trinity in unity in eternity past is revealed in his great love wherewith he loved us. This love of the Father, yea, he loved the people. All his saints are in his hand, and they sat down at his feet, and every one received of his words. Blessed be his name. And God, yes, we've heard it so many times, we're never weary of hearing it. God, so, and do rest on that little word, so. It is tremendous. It wasn't a little love. It was a love that could never be measured in its length and breadth and depth and height. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Oh, the wonders of this love. And the love of the Saviour in coming. In this love, greater love, hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And so, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them to the end that he went to Calvary, to the end that he laid down his life for them, to the end that he suffered in the Roman place, to the end that the debt that they incurred by their sin, to the end that the law broken, to the end that the demands of that law and the justice of God, that this should be atoned for, paid for, and removed by the sufferings of the dear Saviour who gave himself, because laid on him was the sin, the iniquity of all his dear children, and the sword of divine justice falling on the Saviour, and thereby the Saviour bearing all in our room and place, in this, that the sin of his people were charged to, imputed to, the sinless one, the eternal Son of God, and his righteousness laid upon us, his dear children. Jesus laughed, and what a love it is. On such love my soul still pondered, love so great, so rich, so free, say, was lost in holy wonder, why, O God, such love to me. Love that we can never, never measure. Ah, poor sinner, did he love you? Did Christ die for you? Are your sins, which are many, washed away in that sin-atoning precious blood? Is there a longing desire in your heart? Are there one of these burdened sinners? Are there one of these struggling ones? Are you one of these lepers? Are you one of these poor things that have got such an issue of blood? Are you so filthy and vile that you see more and more of your sinful state, and you cry out, can ever God dwell here? Can there be mercy for me? Can there be hope for my soul? Can my sins so great be washed away in that sin atoning precious blood of the dear Redeemer? The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, oh, hang on to it, friend. It's God's therefore, and God has put it together, and no one would part it. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And so we see clearly set before us, and know a little in the experience of it, in our soul, that the drawing influence of heaven, and this drawing influence of heaven, this attraction of Christ, this burden of our sin, this defilement of our nature, this wretchedness of our state and condition, and yet coming just as we are, no money can we bring, no worth have we to plead, no good work can we carry, and nothing of ourselves except all our sin, to come just as we are, just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. Now, this drawing is the evidence of the finished work of Christ, the blood of Christ, that cleanseth from all, who draw all men unto me. This he spake, signifying the death that he should die. Just for a moment, turn back to the wilderness. Turn to the serpent-bitten Israelite. Turn to thyself, poor sinner. Serpent-bitten, poison, venom, right through your very body. And there's no earthly cure. Perishing, dying, hopeless, under condemnation. And yet there is a way, as with Israel of old. The serpent made of brass, set high upon a pole, just one serpent set high, all could see it, those of the farthest extent of the camp, those that were nearly dying, that those that looked, they lived. And so as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have the eternal life. Looking and living, And so, friend, this is real Holy Ghost religion. The work of grace, the new birth, spiritual life, and light shining, the light of life, precious faith, running to Christ, looking to Christ, cleaving to Christ, pleading all that he has done. This is, as the Word of God says, who delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Jesus loved. And this love is unchanging. This love is everlasting. This love is eternal. And says the apostle, being persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Are you in that little word with two letters? U.S. Us. That number that no man can number, redeemed by the precious blood, that shall be brought to glory. No condemnation, no separation. What are these which are arrayed in white, in robes of white? Whence came they? These are they which have come out of great tribulation, have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb, and therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night continually. And the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them and shall lead them unto fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Now Jesus loved. Now just one more thought here and then we pass on. Now Jesus loved. Yes, but we cannot always understand the movings of that love. And here in this chapter we have this revealed, and I may speak to some tonight that may be sorely tempted. Satan says, now if the Lord loved you, you wouldn't be in the trouble that you're in. First of all, I would just mention in passing, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Now no chasing for the present seemed to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth a peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby. Beloved friend, there's no change in his love. It is still in his love, and it's still that we know. Now it's so easy for me to quote it, so easy for you to hear it. But may faith be given to rest upon it, grace be given to trust in it, and to walk therein with the peace of God in our heart and mind, that we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Oh, poor sinner, what is the answer of your soul? If the Lord should come to you, and does come to you tonight, and say, not Simon, because your name may not be Simon, but whatever your name is, lovest thou me? What is your answer before a heart-searching Saviour? Oh, is it this? Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest, unworthy as I am, sinner as I am, and poor as my love is, but I do love thee, Lord, and I long to love thee and love thee and love thee so much. But oh, it is my chief complaint that my love is cold and faint, yet I love thee and adore. Oh, the grace to love thee more. We love him because he first loved us. Now, Jesus loved. I want to come now to the first named here, Martha. As we look at these three, we shall see distinction in personalities, but this one love. And Martha is named first. It was Martha, as we have just read in your hearing, that received the Lord Jesus into her house. But it was this Martha that was cumbered about much serving. Everything was on top of her, as we say. It was crushing. She just felt alone. She felt she couldn't continue, and she couldn't understand why she had to do it all. And she got fretful. It's not only the ladies, but the men know what this is too. There are times, friend, when we are cumbered about. We seem to lose sight of our Jesus. It seems as though the whole world is upon our shoulders. It seems as though we've got everything to do, and we haven't got the strength to do it. And we can start to grumble and complain if we don't show it outward. It's a great mercy to be preserved from that. But inwardly, and you know, when Martha said here to her, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? You know, we sometimes say, and the Satan will add fuel to the fire, where's your Jesus now? Where's his care for you now? Look, you've got to bear it all. And she then said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister, look at her sitting there doing nothing, and I'm doing it all. Dost thou not care that my sister hath left me alone, left me to serve alone? Oh, dear friend, you know, sometimes some of us are more active than others, perhaps, and we must never despise others that may not be so active in serving. We've got to get the right balance. Martha wasn't wrong, as I feel, in what she was doing in this way, but she got over anxious. She went about it as though no one cared for her, let alone Jesus. And you know, we get in such a state sometimes that we feel that we're carrying everything on our shoulders, and no one cares for us, and no one helps us in the burden that we carry. Dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Now, Jesus loved Martha. See the tender, loving way in which he spake her, so gently, so, if I may so say it, showing his concern for her, and how she was so wrong in being so anxious and burdened. Perhaps I may speak to someone tonight. You've lost sense of that precious word, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And what a distinction there is between those cares, our care, and his care. Mark that. Our care so troubled, so distressing, so burdened, so all confused at times. His care, unfailing, full of love, always with wisdom, grace sufficient, strength of the day, help in every time of need, lift you up when you're beginning to sink, and so forth. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Now the Lord loved Martha. We come now further to this moment when trouble unexpectedly came to this favored home at Bethany. And I'm sure that every family or household or that are here tonight will look back and remember that times trouble of some nature coming into your home, and sometimes without warning, sometimes most unexpected. Sometimes a dear one rushed off to hospital, or it may be a bereavement, or it may be some family trial, it may be many other things, trouble coming. And so as soon as Lazarus, their beloved brother, and they did love him, those two sisters, they loved their brother. Shall we just stop there for a minute? Is it needful for me to say this? First of all, literal brothers and sisters in family ties, loving, should love one another and care for one another. What about brethren and sisters in Christ, in the Church of God? Should not we love one another? You see, if the Lord Jesus has loved us, if we have an interest in that finished work, in that shed blood, that we shall have a feeling love and a willingness of a sacrificial love, as far as we're enabled, to those that we love when they come into trouble. Oh, I believe I've known much of this. It's been a comfort to my heart. You feel deeply affected. It's not just emotion, it's a deep affected in your heart as a dear one in the Lord is brought into trouble, bereavement, or sickness, or temptation, or trial. If I could just put it, something in an experience of my early days at Tamworth Road, I had a dear deacon, a Mr. Fletcher. He was a most godly man, a very gentle type of man. And you would listen to him in prayer, and you knew at once where he was spiritually, whether he was blessed of the Lord, or whether he was struggling, as sometimes he did. And the dear man sometimes was struggling. One occasion I remember well, when I went to see him on a Saturday, he sat in his chair wringing his hands, and he'd got no hope of any, well, I say no hope at all, it was so dark. We had a prayer meeting that night. His case was named, and he wasn't able to come out. What wrestling prayer there was for that dear man, because he was loved. And the Lord heard that prayer, and then the night watches he was released. But what I was coming to later was not all that time before he died. It was so distressed he had to go to a mental hospital. And I followed the ambulance. And if ever I knew how much I loved that man, I did then. The pain in my heart. The Lord mercifully brought him out of that. He wasn't there for long. And the simplicity of the word, the Lord is my shepherd. And he was taken to another hospital and had his arm amputated. But before he died, he was sat up. I was away at the time, but he sat up with his brother deacons and they sang the doxology. But it's the love, you see. It's the feeling. It's not just the emotion. And you may be an arm helpless. You can't do a thing to help, but you pray. You carry that one in the arms of your prayer. And this is what these two sisters did. They couldn't, Jesus wasn't there. But they sent a word immediately to Jesus. And friend, isn't it so with you? An immediate cry to heaven. Lord, help me. Lord, bless that dear friend. Well, when we read here, we may come to it in a moment, 2 days. We'll come to that in a minute. But then, I want just to trace out just one more thought about Martha. You see, and I know I may be touching points named in the little booklet, and I'm just going to tell you this, I've no thought of preaching this word at all tonight. Not till I'm just about leaving the home where with my dear sister, and this word came, and I had to leave the scripture that I really thought the Lord had given me. So I don't know why I should bring it before you tonight. But let's just look at this Martha. What right have we to say? What proof is the word of God that the Lord loved her? It's here. In the darkest hour, under the heaviest load, in the deepest sorrow, that faith shines out. It is unveiled. It is discovered. It is clear. There's no uncertainty about it. True. She went to her Lord with the if, just like you do, just like I do. If I hadn't done that, if I didn't go there, if. No, no. What I do now, thou knowest not, thou shalt know hereafter. There's no mistake with our Lord. But the Lord says, she said to Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. But I know. What's this that Martha's going to say? I know even now. And I may be a word for someone tonight, I don't know. You may have the darkest thing in your life. You may have things, or maybe not such a dark thing, but such a combination of circumstances to you. You're just one mass of confusion. You can't understand the way the Lord is leading you. It seems your now is one of utter darkness, confusion, temptation, loneliness, trial, and all that you can possibly think of. But even now, she says, that whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it. The darkest hour, nothing is too hard for my Jesus. The Lord speaks these wonderful words to her. I am the resurrection and the life, and he that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me, though he were dead, and liveth and believeth in me, shall never die. Believest thou this? Now, what is Martha going to say? Yea, Lord. Here is under that busy, anxious, burdened spirit, the uncovering of that work of grace, that precious, indestructible faith. Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Now, Jesus loved Martha. Faith sometimes is confirmed. Faith is sometimes revealed. Hidden faith is sometimes made known in the fire of trouble and trial. And so it was with Martha. But we read, and her sister. What a contrast. Here we read of dear Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Oh, favored soul. Lord, bring me there. Bring me there. Sitting at his feet means just wanting to be with Jesus. Just wanting to hear his word. Sitting there, not rebelling in heart, but just drinking in the word, submissive, teachable, humble, longing, hungering, thirsting, receiving the precious word, sitting at his feet. And with this submission, and I love to think of the sitting at the feet of Jesus, the place of surrender, only reserved for Christ that died, surrendered to the crucified, and receiving his word, hearing his word. One thing is needful. Friend, what do you think is the most needful in your life? And many needful things, lawful needful things, but what is the most needed? Jesus, engraved on my heart, but thou the one thing needful art, I could from all things parted thee, but never, never, Lord, from thee. I believe, as the dear one quoted to me this tea time, that is true. When we come to eventide of life, the Lord's children are being weaned from the world, and reverently and humbly we believe and can say, yes, I could from all things parted thee, but never, never, Lord, from thee, because the possession of Christ is the possession of all. She's chosen that good part by the grace of God, and we shall not be taken away from her. The devil will do his best, but will never do it. What a comfort. Now let's look at Mary again. She too, she first does not run to Jesus at once. Martha's the anxious one, the quick one, the leader, as you might say. Mary, and it is thought rather perhaps morbid at this time. We don't know. I'm not going to judge her wrongly. But it is evident that she felt the loss very deeply, because as she went to meet Jesus, they went with her thinking that she was going to weep over the grave again. But she came to the Lord Jesus and just used the same words as her sister. You could hear them talking together. If only Jesus had come. But why did he stay away? Why didn't he come? But she went to the Lord, and you remember this, and mark it even in the details of the scripture here, that when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down. Where? At his feet. Not that. Submissive, perplexed, burdened, distressed. Lord, I can't understand it. Thou dost love me, but I can't understand why I should go into this path. Why he that thou lovest and that I love and Martha loves, we all love him, and yet he should die. And she cast herself down and said, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Just one more thought about Mary, we must pass on. It was this Mary later, that sitting again at the house of Bethany, and Lazarus risen from the dead, sitting with them, Martha serving, a different Martha now, and Mary, she loved her Lord, and she takes this ointment, of very precious, very costly, and she, this spikenard, and anoints the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. The glory of the woman at the foot of the, at the feet of Christ, and the ointment all for Jesus. Oh, my soul, I wish my all was for Jesus. I long for my all to be for Jesus. And what does this ointment signify? The grace of God in our heart, the grace of love, all for Jesus. The grace of hope, hope in Jesus and none other. The hope, the grace of faith, Jesus, clinging to Jesus, holding fast to Jesus. The grace of patience, not to be, as it were, restless, but to wait patiently for Jesus. Meekness, the spirit of Jesus. Humility, nothing in self, Christ everything. Oh, put thy gracious hands on me and make me all I ought to be. All poured out and the odour filled the house. Sacred, sacred, a sweet odour, all for him, only reserved for Christ that died, surrendered to the crucified, and Lazarus. We do not read a word that he says. It's not recorded in the scripture, not recorded, but he was loved. And even the Jews said, behold how he loved him. And he was sitting at the table with the Lord. So sometimes, now there's no excuse for silence in a way, but some are not ready to speak, but we do not know just whatever Lazarus may have said. But what I'm just saying is this, you see, in the church of God, there's the anxious or burdened and impetuous Martha and Peter, we might say, the more tender, loving John and Mary, and there's this Lazarus. But now just this last thought. When he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Is this the Jesus that we know? I say that with deepest reverence. This Jesus that when the leper came, he immediately touched him. This Jesus that didn't hide himself away from the woman that pressed through the crowd to touch the hem of his garment. This Jesus that to whom they led the blind Bartimaeus and who opened his eyes. This Jesus that when the dying thief said, Lord, remember me, there was a word immediately for him. This Jesus that he spake the word, and even the miracle of healing was far off. Nothing too hard for him, but no. 2 days, silence, not a word, and death. And yet, as the Lord says, this sickness is not unto death. Literal death, yes, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. 2 days. A waiting time. A testing of faith. And everything seemed to get darker, blacker, and what could be darker, more hopeless than death? And it may be a word, I know not. May need it, perhaps not now, may need it tomorrow. Cannot understand. The devil said, now there's no appearing of God for you, no answer to your prayer, no help for you, no mercy for you. Faith is to be tried. All is in the hand of God. And I think right through the scripture, you have this set before us, the need that we have of patience in waiting upon God and waiting for God, and faith and the promise and the presence of God and the love of the Saviour is no exemption from the path of trial, the way of darkness. And it may be that you are tossed about tonight and tried, and yet you would be calm, and yet there you seem to be so troubled. One moment, yes, you feel, yes, I'm at peace, I'm submissive, I can trust God, I can be still and know that He's God, and the next moment you feel all over the place. And so it is, friend. But the Lord making no mistake, what I do now thou knowest not, thou shalt know hereafter. And you take the life of Abraham, look how the promise was fulfilled, but it was a long time. And look at Joseph, until the time came that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him, but it came. There was deliverance, there was the Lord's appearing. And so, beloved, you may have these 2 days, maybe 2 years, maybe more than that, waiting, testing. What a testing time it is, what a trial it is to your faith. But may the Lord give grace and patience to wait and to know and to see and trust Him that He still loves you. And though the cloud comes between, though everything seems so dark, and though everything seems to be against you, yet that does not overthrow the love of the Savior to your soul. And you will see in it and through it His love. It will shine the brighter, and you'll see that the Lord has made no mistake. And so when brought to the end of the journey, you'll be able to say with mercy and with judgment, my web of time He wove, and e'en the dews of sorrow are lusted with His love. Are blessed the hand that guided, are blessed the heart that planned, when throned in highest glory in Emmanuel's land. Amen.
Let us conclude by singing hymn 535, 535, tune Praise My Soul, 682. Sinners, who can make its wonders known? Sin-born slaves, through grace, are winners of a bright celestial crown. Jesus gives us endless glory and renown. Hymn 535.
gracious word, mercifully pardon all spoken amiss. Take us each under thy safe care. Bless thy dear people. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, the communion of the Holy Ghost, be with you all. Amen.